today we are celebrating and we're giving thanks to God for his faithfulness to us as a church. This morning we will glance back. We want to honour and thank those that have gone before us for their faith, obedience, courage, sacrifice, that has actually built a platform on which we stand today. And all the way through, as we've looked at the amazing miracle that we're able to step into as a church, we continually thank God for the faith, the courage, and the wisdom of those that came before us. Those that actually made, and I know Kevin will talk about that, but made a faith decision, that made a God-led decision at a time, and you know, not knowing what all this would end up and what it would set us up as for a church into the future. So I am just so thankful to God and thankful to people for their obedience to him in that part of the journey. We'll thank God for his amazing provision and his incredible faithfulness. Of course, church is not a building. Anyone who's been around the Christian walk for a while will know that when you say we're going to church, it's not really great language. We're actually going to the building that houses the church, which are the people. So church is people. So we're not trying to deify a building. We're just thanking God for this facility, which has been an amazing provision for his vision to outwork, you know, through people. And that's what it's all about this morning. But this building, we've seen, while we've been in it, we've seen people grow in incredible ways. We've been blessed by this fantastic facility. And it's a space that has facilitated some incredible moments, life and eternity changing decisions. And I'll give you some stats in a minute, and I'll talk about that. But so many good stories, so many good times, so many God moments, so much revelation, so many tears, smiles, prophetic words, lifelong connections, and even a good number of marriages. And then we should actually have the marriages in the stats, I reckon. But Sunday, you know, this is what we estimate. Sunday services from the 28th of July, 1997, there have been, on average, individual attendances, this is. I'll get to that in a minute. I was jumping down my notes. But, you know, we estimate there have been 2,330 Sunday services actually held in this building. Isn't that amazing? Salvations, people who have responded to Jesus over this time, we estimate 1,750 salvations, people that have actually responded to Jesus in this building. Isn't that amazing? We think there have been about 940 youth meetings in this building. And we think there have been over 330 baptisms that have actually taken place in this building. Isn't that amazing? And this is cool too. Individual attendances. It's not individual people, but 302,900 attendances in this building. Isn't that amazing? That is so cool. It's my honour right now to introduce Pastor Kevin. But Alex and I have had an incredible, you know, long journey with Kevin and Sue, and certainly, you know, Kevin was the person who had an incredible influence on us as we got engaged in ministry and leadership, and you know, he believed and saw potential in us and has helped us and really formed our understanding of that and what God could lead us into back in those early days. So we want to thank you so much personally, Kev, from Alex and I. As a church, we want to thank you for the fact that you were so much part of leading us in faith to, you know, to acquiring this building, to a church that went through an incredible transition, an amazing season of growth and pioneering, where we were doing things that pretty much are mainstream now, and, you know, multi-campuses and all those things, which was a really exciting season that we had as a church. And You know, thank you so much, Kev, for your faithfulness and your willingness to lead us through that. So it's my privilege today. So why don't you show Kev some honour as he comes and shares with us right now. We need a microphone. Oh, he's got it. Oh. I just wanted to...
Oh, thanks, everybody. Good to see Dave still following my fashion lead. Same, but different shirts. And, of course, the obligatory difference between city and country is we tuck in. We wear our R.M. Williamses and our R.M. Williams and whatever. But apart from that, same, but different. That's great. Thank you so much. I hopefully shed enough tears as I walked in and the hanky got full very quickly of just weeping, actually, as I saw so many friends, and Sue and I felt so... I'm off again. But it was like coming home after a long holiday, and just beautiful. So thanks for the warmth. I thought I wouldn't get emotional, so did Alex, so did a lot of people. Claire thought she wouldn't get emotional, but I'm going to have to be careful, because when I look around and see faces, it's going to take me down side alleys, and I decided to write a few notes so that I didn't get distracted, and I'm distracted already just by seeing so many faces that I have shared the journey with. But Dave has welcomed and allowed me to just go back and reflect. You know, if I asked you to think back in your own Christian life, your own journey with God, and if I asked you to think about times when you were desperate, absolutely desperate to hear from God, then I'm sure many of you would reflect, just not on one occasion, but many occasions. My Bible is littered with little sticky notes here, and every one of those is a defining moment when I was desperate to hear from God. And if I showed you my notes and colour coding, it's just full of little personal stories and prompters as to what God has done. And your life is no different to that. And as a church, we have been on an amazing journey. Our church journey goes much further back than we even realise. People like Janet Westland would remember much more than I remember. I could go back 60 years just from my childhood stories that I was told from uncles and great uncles of the fact that this church was birthed out of a vision of Murray Street Gospel Chapel, a Brethren church that had a dream to reach out to the lost on the eastern shore. So they kind of sent over a delegate, if you like, of my uncle Athol Holton and others around him to start a children's work, to start a youth work, and eventually to buy a little building in Rowitta Court. Is that the right name, Jeff? Rowitta Road. And then began Lindisfarne Christian Fellowship Brethren. I could go on and on with those sorts of stories, but I'm going to go back just 25 years when Sue and I decided to attend Lindisfarne Christian Fellowship. And, of course, having my brother Jeff and Rosie there was a big draw card, and Uncle Athol, who was the chairman of elders, and that was kind of like being the bishop or the pope in those days, where you became the chairman of elders. And later, Athol Holton handed on to his son, Kerry Holton, my first cousin. And then later, I became chairman of elders. But first, you had to go through that kind of career path where being a school teacher didn't help, because then you become the Sunday school superintendent. Now you become just kids pastor. And then after that, well, you get to be in charge of the music. Well, that was very exciting, because then I had to go to Kerry Holton, my cousin, to get lessons on waving your hand furiously like that. And it didn't seem to matter whether it was 4-4 time or 3-4 or whatever. I'm already out of my depths, as Alex would know. But I became the senior song leader, which now you'd call youth pastor. And, of course, Kerry Holton would be telling you later after the event whether you did it on beat or out of beat, but who cared? So many memories of going back. Dave and Alex arrived on the scene. We were already there, and I remember Dave and Alex arrived. Alex was a pretty young thing with a voice like an angel. Dave was rough around the edges and sort of hands, like grease all over his hands. But we sort of saw that there would be a bit of potential there. And it wasn't long before we started, once I became chairman of elders, start to dream and vision what things could be like. And with the help of starting to go to the John Wimber conferences, remember, and starting to want to know and explore things of the Holy Spirit and wanting to push the boundaries a little on our tradition versus what might be. And so with the influence of your John Wimber type conferences, and then later saying, what would it look like to become a contemporary church, a church that really cared about being relevant, culturally relevant, and reaching out to lost? And so with the help of great friends, Brian and Bobby Houston, we proudly accepted an invitation to become Hobart Christian Life Centre, still at Warritta Road. Hobart Christian Life Centre. Brian said, I'll be honoured if you used our logo and our font. And so then we started to push the boundaries of being relevant. And so then the little Brethren Church at Lindisfarne started to grow from 40 to 60. It wasn't unusual to count 80. And I remember one Sunday we counted 120 people in Warritta Road, and we'd pushed the back. Remember, Janet, we'd pull that thing right back. What was it called? Concertina door. And I think there was one here somewhere at one stage. We got rid of that. And so we'd push the concertina door back and we'd spill out, and then there was no room for children. They'd have to go downstairs. And it was an exciting time. And then we decided we really ought to consider appointing our first ever senior pastor. I'm already well off my notes. So we started to pray, and as chairman of elders, I was able to have a strong influence and believe that it was time to have our first ever senior pastor on salary. And we interviewed and employed Ross and Ann Turner, Ross at the time, now Ann Wilson, of course. And we were just so, so excited to be growing. And under that time, we decided maybe we should look for another building. We didn't have the faith to sell Warritta Road because that was our administrative hub and we could do things there during the week, midweek meetings. But we began to believe and dream for the Rosny College Auditorium. It was a 301-seater. And we thought, wow, wouldn't that be incredible? And Ross and Ann were on our journey. Ross and Ann were now senior pastors and I was still chairman of elders. And we moved into that building, and that was an exciting time of growth and discovery. And as we did that, we began to dream of bringing other churches on the journey. And so we launched the first ever The Power to Energize Conference. The Power to Energize Conference, which later became Energizer Conference, which became Energizer Life Church, which has become Energizer Church. And, of course, launched the first ever Church Together. And I'm so thrilled that now, today, as I became the first, well, became Assemblies of God State President and now Dave, ACC State President. And that spirit, that DNA within you, it still continues to not just bottle it up, but to share with other churches and bring them on the church, on the journey. Sue and I are in the country. We're in a little Anglican church and I weep at their inability to be able to connect and reach out to people that are spiritual in my area. We have a contact list, or I shouldn't say that. We have a fellowship, a friendship with 30-odd people, most of which have got a spiritual side and they want to go to church. They want to go to a church like this, but they can't, and that's another story. As I said, I'm well off my notes, but what happened was, tragically and unexpectedly, I think it was October 97, 96, suddenly after 1 year of this exciting journey, Ross Turner at age 47 suddenly died very, very quickly. And we as a church were yet again brought to our knees. I never thought a grown man could weep so much as I did, and others in this congregation know exactly what we're talking about, where once again we've been brought to our knees on this exciting journey in Rosny College, still had Warritta Road, and our senior pastor had died. So we went through 3 months, October, November, December, of weeping and fasting, seeking God. I flew to Sydney. I said to Brian Houston, what do I do? And that's another story. I could go down so many side alleys. But in January 97, a good friend of ours, Lloyd Trenham, stood before the midweek meeting and he read from Joshua chapter 1. And I won't... And it was the story of Moses and what Joshua was meant to do and had to do. Kev Wilcock, our good friend that we're reaching out to, stood up and did something that's never been done before in a Brethren church. And he just took it on himself to appoint Sue and I as senior pastors. So then it had to be ratified. So, Lloyd, if you know Kev Wilcock, that wouldn't surprise you. There are a few questions asked, and I think we lost a couple of families over the way the decision happened. But Lloyd Trenham and the intercessors and Kev Wilcock, and then ratified by the eldership formally, we became the senior pastors. As we continued to flourish and grow, we began to pray yet again about our future, and we felt maybe the season and the time was up to have our own building. We had learned that this building, 8 Petchy Street, was available. It seemed well beyond our reach. And so we looked at it, we began to pray about it, and we began to share with the congregation just in the same way as you are now and have done with the Coogan's building in Moona. So, long story short, we ended up signing a contract, an agreement for sale subject to finance. And for some reason, the deposit was $38,000, which was less than 10%, but I'm not sure why, but it was $38,000. So we knew we could get out of the contract. All we had to do was not raise the finance. All we had to do was not raise the deposit. So in Rosny College, in the auditorium, we shared with our congregation that we were going to have a fundraiser and we were going to raise the deposit of $38,000. What they didn't know is that I'd made a bargain with God. I was desperate, as you could reflect in your own life, and I said to God, if we do not raise $38,000 this Sunday morning in cash, not promises, not IOUs, but in cash, made up of potentially one donation of $38,000 or made up of many $1 or $2 coins, I could not know and I could not manipulate or make any of that happen. But I just said to the congregation, we're going to raise the deposit this morning, we'll see how we go. But they didn't know, nobody knew that I'd said to God, this is it. If it happens, we'll know your will. If it doesn't happen, I'll be peaceful and this building is not for us. We had a worship service much like this morning. We just praised God, we worshiped, and we did something you don't normally do. We put our little offering bucket out the front and we invited people to come forward as they felt ready. And children came out and you could hear the coin. People came out, you could hear a note. There was the odd envelope, the odd check. We went back to worship and I was extremely nervous. Silently talking to God. The ushers went away. We sang a couple more songs. And this is where I'll lose it. They came up. They handed me a little bit of paper. And on the paper... And how can you manipulate this? $38,000 and a few coins, a few cents. So we knew this building was the next chapter in our exciting journey as a church. Sue and I are so excited about the journey continuing, about your next move. Can I just say this as I conclude? You are the custodians of this church. As Dave said earlier, it's not about buildings, it's about people. For generations that have been and the generations to come. And I'll say this, in itself, the Moona building is not the end. It's not the end of the line. But we look forward to cheering you on as the journey continues. God bless you.
In just a moment, actually, I've asked some people just to come and pray and even reflected on church together. And what I'm going to do now reminds you of some of those church togethers where we had everybody on stage and got right out of hand. But thankfully, I'm not inviting pastors up, so everybody will stick to their time. Spoke to Pastor Dan yesterday morning, and as you know, he's in the Bahamas, and he's certainly not having a Bahamas-type holiday. It's actually pretty tough. And but he passes on his love and regards to everybody, and he's somebody that got saved in this building. One night the power was off and the service happened out there in the cafe, and he gave his heart to Jesus right here in this building. So many testimonies like that. In the few minutes that I've got left, I just want to read this to you, and then I'll give you some thoughts about going forward. But on 1 Samuel 7:12, it says this. It says, Samuel took a large stone and he placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah, and he named it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. And really, as we look back this morning, we're not saying that a journey is stopped or finished. And I love what you said, Kev, that you know, Moon is not the end of the journey, that God will continue to lead us. But every now and again, it's just important in life, in journeys together as a church, where we see what Samuel was saying is an Ebenezer stone. He picked up this stone as a monument, and he put it somewhere a bit indiscreet. He didn't say, we're going to come back here and worship, we're going to camp here. He said, we're going to remember the faithfulness of God. We're going to remember that he was with us to this point, and we're going to remember that he will continue to be with us. And all of us have had things in our life, and you know, where there are those times where God came through. Let's not go back and live in the past, but let's use those times as a testimony, as inspiration to the faithfulness of God, so that we can step in to the things that he has for us next and the leading of his faithfulness into the future. God has brought us this far and he won't leave us. I've had so many of those experiences myself, and I won't go into all those this morning, but sometimes you can just go back and you can think about that time that he came through, that time that I was so desperate, that time that I knew that there was nothing else but the faithfulness of God that could intervene in that situation. Those are the Ebenezer stones that build faith as we go into the future. I think looking forward, every generation has a moment where you've actually got to take hold of the opportunity that God places in front of you. And right now as a church, we're in that moment for this generation, for the next season. We've got an amazing opportunity in front of us. It's an opportunity that's been created as we've all walked this together, but it is our moment to take what is in front of us, to step through the doorway of opportunity, but we've got to take possession of that opportunity, and we've got to take hold of the promise that's been there. And I'll just read this and a couple of points and we're done this morning. But in Isaiah 54, and this has been another one of these verses, there are a couple of verses that are really key to us as a church and we've gone back to. And over the last couple of years, we've talked about, you know, God doing a new thing and out of Isaiah, and that's been key. We've had songs written about that. That's led us on to new places. But this is something I believe is one of those key verses to us as a church. Now, Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 4, it says, enlarge the place of your tent and let your tent curtains be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your ropes and drive your pegs deep. For you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and inhabit desolate cities. Do not be afraid, for you will not be put to shame. Don't be humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will no longer remember the disgrace of your widowhood. All of us have got those little chapters in our life. We've all got these things where we thought, you know, that wasn't a great season, or I wish that didn't work, or we've got less than favourable circumstances in our relationships and all sorts of things. But you know what? Our God is so amazing through His grace. He says, if you will follow me, you will not be put to shame. You will not be disgraced. You can forget about those things and I will lead you on to what I have in front of you. So how do we do that? I think number one, we've got to continue to enlarge our thinking. We've got to continue to enlarge our vision. Let's be believing and expecting that more is possible. And I referred to the baby boomers this morning. It's so easy as generations go on to think, well, I've done my bit. But you know what? God has not finished with anybody. And He wants us to continue to enlarge our vision, continue to think bigger, continue to look for the opportunities that's in front of us. And I don't know, Jeff, can I just share just something that you said? I know for Jeff and Rosie was so key into praying, you know, into this building, almost into being, and all sorts of things. That was, you know, that was Rosie using her gift and what God speaks to her about. And she'll tell you all sorts of things about that. But, you know, for Jeff and Rosie, Jeff thinking, oh, well, you know, the church that's been in my neighbourhood and the connection and almost feeling like a custodian of that, it was a big decision to say we're going to another place. But what I loved about Jeff, he struggled with that initially. But when he went and he went and saw what was over there at Moona and he saw the possibilities, he changed. It was like God spoke to him and he said, look at the possibilities. You know what? I don't share that to embarrass Jeff, but I share that because he hasn't finished with anybody, no matter what your age, status, time of life, there is more. Let's lift our eyes, let's enlarge our vision. Come on. The next thing is stretch. You know, God will stretch us, but He's not going to snap us. He will stretch us. And how do we stretch but not snap? Well, you know, we've got to guard our heart. We've got to make sure that above all things that we guard our heart and we keep that soft and pliable. And as we go on this journey together, there will be times that it won't be quite as comfortable. When we get to Moona, it's not the end product. What you see there on the wall is amazing. That's going to be so cool. But when we get there, we're actually inhabiting a building. It's like the children of Israel going across the promised land, and God will have given us the building, but you know what? We're going to bring life and vitality and spirit and vision and future to that building, and He's going to stretch us in that journey, but He won't snap us. It might be a little bit uncomfortable here and there, but we are going to be ready for what He's got for us. Let's be flexible. The last game of tennis I ever played was nearly 10 years ago now. Alex and I were up on the Tama River and we saw a tennis court at Beaconsfield and Alex sort of thought, yeah, we could go and have a hit there. Wouldn't that be a good thing? And as we drove around the corner, there was doctor's surgery on the corner. And she said, that's handy, isn't it, Dave? Because when you have your heart attack, we can bring you there. Anyway, within 10 minutes of that coming out of her mouth, I was in that doctor's surgery. She hit a ball wide and...
Oh, it wasn't wide. See?
Yeah, but it was wide. It was wide for me. Yes, it was down the line within millimetres for your amazing skill as a tennis player, of course. And I took off to get it and I hear this big bang and I looked around literally to see who had dropped a lump of steel on the back of my leg. Actually looked up in the air, I thought, who's up there? And then obviously I realised I tore a calf muscle and it went off like a bang and I limped almost for 9 months as that repaired. Why did that happen? Because you know what, my calf muscle wasn't flexible enough for what I'd actually put it through in that moment. It was too tight to actually put that amount of pressure on it in that moment, and it snapped. But you know what? Let's make sure that as we go on this journey that we get before God and we say, you know, we're going to be stretched, we're going to be flexible. We're actually going to take responsibility for our heart, for our own spirituality, for our part in the journey to be flexible enough for what He wants to do with us in the journey. How do we do that? We keep serving. We keep showing kindness to that person that's a bit challenging. We guard our heart. Here's a biggie. This is a biggie in a move, in a transition. We forgive lots and we forgive easily. Forgive lots and forgive easily. And let's have a revolution of forgiveness. You know, where we choose to forgive. We choose not to carry things and we do it easily. We will be flexible. God will be able to stretch us further when we're like that. And the other thing is, I said this one, let's go. Don't hold back. Shoot for the maximum, not the minimum. Sometimes, you know, you can say, well, what's the minimum I've got to do? Sometimes you hear about somebody getting married into a faith or something like that. And, you know, what's the minimum I've got to do, you know, to be recognized by a particular church or something like that? You know, people will say, what's the minimum? Where Jesus says, it's actually not about minimums, it's about everything. Let's shoot for the maximum. Let's not shoot for the minimum. Faith doesn't mean not being afraid anymore. It just means that our actions are not controlled by doubts. And as a board in this journey, we've been through the scenarios, the possibilities. We've done the risk assessments. We know different things that could go wrong and happen. That doesn't mean we're doubting. You actually, I think faith is stronger when you actually have a really good look at things and then you say, but we're not going to be ruled by the doubts. We're going to be governed by faith as we go forward. And that's what it actually means. Hey, lengthen. Live in a way that creates space. Live in a way that opens doors. Embrace the spacious future. We're geographically being put closer to Hobart's largest population corridor. Hey, let's not hold back. Let's go. God is going to use us in incredible ways as we go into that. Our base, which can open and reach people, is geographically almost in the centre of Hobart. And our call as a church is not just for a suburb. It's for Hobart, it's for Tasmania, it's for the nations. Let's continue to have that upward vision and let's go. It's there in front of us. We've got so much opportunity. And let's deepen. Let's deepen those relationships. We've just done a series as a church and we've called it Love One Another. Let's deepen our relationship with Jesus. Let's deepen our relationship with one another, because it's actually the unity and the togetherness in which we go that is going to enable us to be flexible enough, to be stretched and lengthened, to be able to see the bigger vision and go into what he's got for us. And it's truly exciting days ahead. We see the Ebenezer Stone that this building is. And if we worship this building, we're lost, because it's not going to be here much longer. And I think God does that sometimes. I put so much effort into a season of business in my life, and we scraped and we got up early in the morning, worked late into the night, and managed to build a building out of Brighton. And when I came into ministry, in a full-time manner, we sold that building, and the guy I sold it to rearranged things, and the building that we put so much effort into, you know, we're up, you know, at 4:30 in the morning out there building before we actually started our normal day's work, and, you know, laying bricks and on the roof and all the things that went with that. And I drove past it one Christmas time. Alex and I were going up north to do something for Christmas, and all that was left, he actually pulled that building down to rearrange the block and do different things. And God spoke to me. All that was left of that building was a little bit of rubble. They'd carted it all away, and I saw there was about one truckload of rubble that was actually left on the site there. You know, and God says, you know what, you can put effort into all sorts of things, and a lot of the things of this world, that's where they'll end up. But His kingdom lasts forever. His kingdom is eternal. And yeah, we can put effort into getting a building and all that, but just remember, it's part of the kingdom. He will take it, He'll use it. Nothing's forever, but what He's doing in us and through people in this city and in this state and across the nations is eternal. And let's continue to be part of His kingdom. build an eternal future.